Hello, everybody. It's Jesse Brisman again, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. I'm here with John, and this is going to be a really amazing interview today. John's personal mission statement is to live each day with intention, focus, energy, discipline, and passion, striving to become the best version of himself. John married his UCSB college sweetheart, Adrian, and they've been blessed with three children, Matthew 15, Natalie 13, and Alexis 11. When not shuttling his kids to and from their activities, you will likely find him serving his church community or out in nature, beach days, hiking, golfing, camping, fishing, or mountain biking. John's professional expertise, which is part of the reason why he's here today, is he was telling me offline, he's kind of like almost like a financial Tony Robbins type thing, where he approaches finding client solutions, arbitrage just kind of some of the silly rules that are out there, and helps his clients find solutions that come from an abundance mindset, not so much to give up, but really how to create. And I think that's such a fascinating model. And John's prepared a PowerPoint with us. And just as a note, this PowerPoint is going to be a segment, kind of a speed through of a longer presentation he's doing on a pretty regular basis as an ongoing thing this week to support the community and small business owners at large who are going through this, what's happening in the world right now. And I encourage you all to jump on, and we'll link up to it, to John's longer presentation. And I'm definitely going to do the same, because in talking to John and the times I have, he's an absolute wealth of knowledge. He is a genuine, you can tell that he's practicing what he preaches, and he's in the right place with it. So John, I'll let you take it away. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for the time, Jesse. And thanks for the opportunity to create some value. I'm fired up. I feel like this is such an important time for people to be sharing their unique expertise to help others. And that's how we as a community are going to get through this. Yeah. We're also, especially here in Santa Barbara, we're so interconnected. I mean, we're all interconnected in a global community, but especially here uniquely in our little area, it's what happens to my business impacts the other businesses, and what happens to the other companies here in Santa Barbara will impact everybody else around them. So what I put together is a presentation that is being offered at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock every afternoon for the foreseeable future, to try to help as many small business owners as we possibly can have clarity. Our whole theme for our company is clarity and confidence. Clarity on where they're at today and where they want to head, and then confidence that they have the right action steps in order to get there. And that confidence piece is just so important. I feel like our society as a whole is just scrambling for a degree of confidence. There's just so much uncertainty. And so as we go through this presentation, really one of the key takeaways would just be really align your focus, be intentional about the things that you can control, the things that are within our power. It's easy for us to lose sight of just how much we are in control of when we're faced with a challenging time such as these days here late. So this is very much a process, a mindset of a process is what I'm sharing with you. And this process is designed to go in a cycle. And so it's not as if you would then do this process for your company and then go, oh, well, I'm all set. Looks like I'm going to make it through this challenging time period, and gosh, I'll reconnect again next year and think, do it now. As you know, as entrepreneurs, obviously, you know, it's a time to be dynamic, and it's a time to be proactive. And of course, as I already alluded to, incredibly intentional. And so what we'll be doing is going through these six different steps. And it starts off with what's called a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And then we'll be discussing some of the tangible insurance protections that all entrepreneurs really ought to be taking into consideration. One would think that all the insurance companies of the world would have already pulled their products. They would have priced it, you know, based on all the craziness that's going on. But ironically, none of that's happened. I have all the same tools, and so does every other insurance advisor in our community, accessible to them right now. And which means, although we're in unusually challenging, risky times from a financial perspective, there's actually tools that exist to protect people against that. So. And then, of course, taking into consideration specifically the threats that the company is being posed by this virus, and looking specifically at operational considerations, the people around you, the team that you have as part of your organization. And if you're a solo entrepreneur, then as many are here in our community, then really looking at the connection. We're, none of us are solo, really. We're connected to others on both sides of our upline and downline of the services that we provide. And I would encourage thinking about that as that we all think about that as our human resources. And then financial strength, taking a look at cash flows and taking a look at the balance sheet, which is, of course, assets and liabilities at this time. And then last but certainly not least, which is where I feel the cream is cut, the leader, you know, the really strong leader step out is when they can get through all of that gauntlet of energy investment, and then be able to communicate. So often that when we're kind of buckled down to the task and we're really focusing on what we're doing, that we lose sight of the importance of communicating to the people that are on our team, the people that are upline, downline from us, and of course, it goes without saying, to those that serve. So without further ado, I'm going to jump right into this here because we want to try to stay on schedule. So looking at SWOT analysis, and it's funny, I've had so many conversations with younger, just awesome entrepreneurs, and they just launched their companies over the last couple of years, especially in the technology space, in so many different areas. It's just incredible. They some interesting things where they have no idea what a SWOT analysis is. They're, you know, I can always tell a really successful entrepreneur when they've had absolutely no business training. It's almost like a necessary prerequisite that you have to be passionate and fired up and just want to give your unique value. And then you have to kind of figure out all the other business pieces. Well, this would be one of those important business areas to figure out. And so the first area of it is strengths. And what we're finding with a lot of companies is that all of their strengths, if they take them into consideration, everything that existed December 31st of last year, last month even, February 15th, you know, those strengths are all still there and haven't been impacted really at all by this virus. Looking at then weaknesses, the weaknesses of the company, a lot of times a weakness is only a weakness really if we don't see it. So if we can't identify it, if it's causing us harm, then that's when a weakness really impacts us. And the blessing, really the blessing in this global pandemic, if one could call it a blessing, is that companies' weaknesses are being brought to the surface. Little things. Here in our company, we generally charge on an hourly basis for our consulting. Which I'm waving with all the craziness now because the world needs my help. but we accept checks for that. And we're doing it all virtually. Well, you know, how do you collect checks from people who aren't here sitting with you? So it's forced my company to go, gosh, it's really silly that I haven't figured out a way to be able to collect revenue from a credit card via a distance. So that's an example of a weakness that our company had, and then several other clients have had the same kind of a thing where they haven't had a need for it in the past, and now they're finding that it's hampering them. So really taking stock of what specifically is holding you back at this point as it relates to this virus, and then moving on to opportunities. And in this is kind of an interesting area where the opportunities that existed December of last year are still in play, and then there's this whole other basket of opportunities that's been added to the table for us as entrepreneurs of ways that we can create value. I encourage our clients and myself to think of any entrepreneurial organization as a value creation enterprise. And value is something that has to be perceived in order to be received. You can create value for someone, but if they don't perceive it as value, then it's a fail. Well, with the challenges going on around the world, there's a heightened awareness, there's a heightened sensitivity to value and a need for that value. And so that's then led to just a tremendous amount of opportunities for companies to be expanding their scope into different areas of service, adding on other auxiliary lines of verticals of revenue to their organization, which stem from auxiliary lines of value creation that didn't exist 3 months ago, 6 months ago, but are allowing you to serve and help others in new and perhaps even more beneficial ways in some cases than ever before. And then last but certainly not least, then moving to the threats. And the threats that this virus poses to most small businesses that we've been consulting with stems largely as a proximity issue and a transportation issue. All of the strengths, all of the opportunities, everything's still in play, but you just can't sit in front of the person anymore. So yeah. how do we get around, how do we get around that as a threat? Well, gosh, you know, good thing there's technology. When mankind gets through this virus on the other side of this, we're going to be exponentially more adept at and skillful at communicating through all forms of mediums than we were previously, and we'll have teed ourselves up for economic advances that would perhaps never have existed previously. The companies on the other side that will adapt and adjust their course to be able to continue to add value or take advantage of those new opportunities that will certainly exist today, but will be coming in over the next 6 to 12 months. Will thrive on the other end of this because of this interconnectedness that is being forced for everyone to adapt, and change is hard. We all have full plates, so it really feels like a burden. But at this point, really those threats, in a lot of ways, kind of the way that we encourage thinking about this is that the threats are what are going to identify to you the opportunities. In the same way that the weaknesses identify to us where we can strengthen our organization, the threats just identify. They just put a little flag. It's a little like popping. It's like a little light that then says, hey, here's an area that you could go to create more value.
I love that.
Yeah. So even these, the negative aspects really, if put through the through a constructive lens of value creation for others, will result in greater strengths and greater opportunities. So it's a very exciting time to be an entrepreneur. Just an incredible time to be an entrepreneur between the interconnectedness and the need for services. It's just, it's amazing. I get home and my wife's like, "How was your day? You look so fired up." I'm not tired. I'm infused. I'm invigorated. The acts of generosity, the acts of kindness. When I talk to some entrepreneurs and they're going, "Gosh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to afford to keep my employees, but I know I'm going to need them. I'm terrified to lose momentum. I don't want to let the flywheels, you know, stall out or slow. And so I'm working to figure it out. I'm watching entrepreneurs sacrificially put the security and financial livelihood of their employees in front of their own."
Yeah.
And this is so awesome. It's so invigorating when you see that kind of selfless action, which we just don't see when everything's going well. There isn't the opportunity that's being provided. All right. So let's specifically talk about some of the threats that I've identified in each of these different areas of a normal business. One of them that's maybe most actionable, most tangible, is in the insurance area. Insurance companies haven't had a chance to react to any of what's going on. The amount of people that are unfortunately passing away from this virus is going to have an impact on the cost of insurance in the future, inevitably, right? And I have no guarantees to that. Nobody has any guarantees on any of this, but it seems highly probable that in the future, the cost of insurance will be significantly higher. And so if one were to need to acquire insurance at some point in the foreseeable future, they would be very wise to consider doing it now rather than waiting 6 months to a year. That's on the life insurance side. On the disability insurance side, there's a type of coverage you can buy. It's short-term group disability insurance for small companies. There are several companies that write it. And it will provide the owner of the company, who's generally not covered by California SDI. You know, they talk about the rollout of all the, you know, the paid family leave and unemployment insurance and government paid sick time. Yes, theoretically, that's there for the entrepreneur also, but just, you know, there's no sick time for entrepreneurs. It's like vacation time. I don't have vacation. It's all just your own thing. So it's not like you take a vacation and, you know, So really, this is a really important time to take stock of that disability insurance protection in particular. Incredibly inexpensive, a couple hundred bucks a month for covering, you know, my 8 employees. And it gives each person in the company, I don't know, I think the employees all have up to $6,000 a month. And I think the owners have $15,000 a month. So that's good. If somebody on my team gets sick, they're going to be in really good shape financially, in addition to what the government's putting together, because those coverages would augment and get someone to the maximum amount of income that they could receive, which is somewhere between 60 and 70% income replacement. So could make all the difference between making rent, you know, putting food on the table, et cetera. So I'd be encouraging every single company in Santa Barbara, every small business should have short-term disability insurance, should have disability coverage, or should at least be considering putting it into place. I can't imagine a fact pattern where they would go, no, I don't need that at all. You know, maybe if they're, I don't know. I remember when I was in my 20s, I maybe thought I was invincible.
Invincible, yeah.
nothing could take me out. But, you know, so if you happen to be a superhero, then you wouldn't need any of this, and this would be a total waste of conversation. Similarly, on the health insurance side, platinum health insurance costs more, you know, 15% or 25% more than silver. But look what it does with your out-of-pocket exposure. For a family, I've got 3 kids and a spouse. I'm a family of 5. You would take this maximum exposure and you would times this by 5. So for my family, that would be $20,000 of exposure. Well, if I were on a silver plan, you would take the $8,000 times 5. Right now, theoretically, if you push through, if multiple members in the family push through the deductible or hit that out-of-pocket maximum, then it caps for the other individuals. But I've had several years and lots of experiences where everybody gets right up to it, so they don't push through the deductible. They never actually get to that spot where the insurance company is paying out. And so people right now that have a company can actually move their plan and lock in their premium for a platinum premium all the way through to April of next year, which, given what might happen with the health insurance rates with all the claims, might not be such a bad idea to consider. So those are some tangible recommendations on the threat side, and that really ties into one's personal financial security. Can be protected, can be supported, can be it can be sheltered from some of what's going to inevitably occur from health related expenses. So let's move on to operational considerations. Again, this is in the threats category. What could be threats that are happening? Well, gosh, if I come in the morning and I am Mopey John Domboski, how are you guys? Can you believe this virus? Oh my God, I'm so scared. Are you scared? I'm scared. No, now is the time to rail it. Now is the time for leaders to step up, max out their culture, max out their leadership, flex all of what they've been training to deliver to the world during all these good years, so that we can really bring an optimized client experience and a team culture. The virus is a threat to the extent that we let it become a threat. I know, Jesse, you do a lot of training on mindset and how important it is to have your mind in the right perspective. That's going to be critical for a company to continue successful operations. If that leader gets pulled astray and distracted into delving into constant perpetual updates, I don't want to say they're toast, they're done for, but gosh, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult than it needs to be. And so we're encouraging entrepreneurs to really be like a racehorse on a track where you've got your blinders on. And you're really just looking at the road ahead of where you're going. And that road is to create maximum value for the people that you serve in whatever industry it is that you happen to be in. One of the other threats is workflow management. Can you get the things done that need to get done? And if you're sick, can somebody else get those things done that need to get done? And there's lots of great platforms that exist that are online platforms like Trello, Monday, Salesforce are all great platforms. There's tons of them. I don't have any conflicts of interest or any ins with any of those companies, but there are lots of software companies where one can automate the workflow so that if they're unable to work for some reason, someone else, perhaps in a different location or another team member, can pick up the slack we haven't had to do that in the past, especially with our company. Everything's here in our nice office. Like, you know, why would I want to work from home? I, you know, well, that's changed quite a bit. And I need to make sure that my team is able remotely to know where I'm at and what's the most important priorities to be working on. And then certainly critical to consider in this area would be operational considerations for your finances. Do you have the ability to pay your employees? Do you have the ability to invoice and receive payment? That gets to one of the weaknesses that was identified from the, you know, that was a threat that this virus posed was, well, how are you going to get paid for the services that you're rendering, John, if you're not doing it here in the office? And so being able to kind of thinking through for your organization, I don't know what that means, but thinking through, how do I keep that flow of dollars for the services we're providing continuing to happen, both coming in and going out, regardless of where I may be operating from? So making sure there's somebody else that could take over and maybe sign checks for you or process payments for you if you're too sick to be able to process those payments. Then on the threat to human resources, this is obviously the largest resource that anyone has. Human beings, I mean, that's why there's a stock market. That's why there's a gross domestic product is human beings. We turn raw material into more valuable things. I heard a great analogy the other day. It's akin to you take a raw piece of wood and you turn it into a beautiful conference table. And the value of that is exponentially made greater by mankind's ingenuity and physical effort. So our thinking and our effort makes the world around us more valuable. And in fact, we've reached a state of economic development where now we don't even have to turn things into more valuable. We can make ideas more valuable. Yes. And create value for the world by having an idea become the effect of that idea was like that raw wood that we're now turning into that beautiful table. Or even interconnecting, find ways to connect people together is a way mankind. So in this human resources area, I would really be looking at, okay, what are the threats to this picture? Well, one threat is maybe somebody that does a really critical task is then sick for a prolonged period of time, okay? What are those really important tasks? You know what they are. They're the tasks that absolutely, positively, no matter what, have to get done, right? There was a guy, John Spence, and he calls them these moments of truth. And you know, if you're at a restaurant and the menu looks great, the service is great, but then all of a sudden a rat runs across the floor. It doesn't matter how great those other things are, that you know, you had to hit the moment of truth on the cleanliness. So knowing what your moments of truth are, what are those critical components to your value delivery? And then who's the backup? How's the backup? What's that backup look like for each of those? You might only have five of them. When you start doing a list, our tendency, especially as entrepreneurs, we want everything to be perfect. We don't want to sacrifice anything. But you really want to try to limit it to just five. Limit yourself to five absolutely critical tasks that need to get done in your organization. And that'll force you to really be strategic about thinking about, of all those 20 or 30 things that I think today are critical, what are the ones that I would never want to have not get done? Yes. And then I would be taking time right now as entrepreneurs, particularly if you employ people. I mean, gosh, this morning, I think I had a dozen people contact me for information on this one area in particular. When you're running a business as usual, gosh, maybe you have one person leave or one person get sick. It's an infrequent thing. And so I've never met a successful entrepreneur that was totally up to speed at all times on all the regulatory rules. And so that would be a really good time to pause, hit the pause button, go, okay, I'm going to block out 2 hours today. And as painful as this is going to be, I'm going to read everything I can about these three different appointments, the unemployment insurance, California short-term disability insurance, which applies for your employees, if you have employees, and then the paid family leave, because, even if you were up to speed, all the rules have radically changed as it relates to those three. And then I would, last but not least, as it relates to a threat to this bigger picture, is what does your handbook say? What does your sick pay policy say? And does it align with maybe those new changes that have just happened? Or would it be important to consider making some adjustments there? And of course, in this area is all labor law. I'm not an attorney, and it would be important to talk to an attorney. We've got lots of great law firms that have just a tremendous depth of experience. And in my experience, they are being very generous with their competencies during this challenging time to help advise employers on what needs to happen. So financial strength, this is a no-brainer most companies, but I would imagine most companies have taken a look at, gosh, if this is worst case scenario, what does this look like? If I'm going to have no revenue coming in, let's say, how long can I float all the expenses that I have? What on a monthly basis is the outflow? And how does that compare to what's coming in? And then you look at the balance sheet going, okay, well, what do I have to tide me over in cash? And then what do I have as it relates to liabilities that I can take out, access to debt? And so I would be taking that. There's a strong sense of wanting to put our heads in the sand as entrepreneurs and to be optimistic and be okay, well, it's going to be okay, or the opposite. Yeah. I'm going to fire everybody. It's all, the house is on fire, right? And so really, if we just slow down and go, okay, how does this look? A best estimate of just as things are today, how does that look? And then what does this worst case scenario kind of look like? And then strategically, that'll help put some of these other decisions that you might be making about how offensive you're going at this point to take advantage of capitalizing on those new opportunities that have been brought to your attention. Or do you perhaps need to be more on the defensive side where you're buckling down and being very strategic about your financial and energy resources? Or are you in a spot where when I looked at it, I thought, I'm good. I'm not only defensive, I'm gonna shore up some of the weakness. We're gonna set up a electronic payment method setup. And then I'm gonna go on the offensive and create as much value as I can for the entrepreneurs in our community. And so you may find when you look at it, gosh, I'm in a good spot. I'm already set. I'm good on the defense side. I'm clear, green light to go on the offense. But it really should start with getting a good sense, an honest appraisal of how the organization looks in these different areas. And then last in this process, but then you just restart and you redo the SWOT and you redo, and this is maybe on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis, depending upon your industry, that I'm suggesting you go through this exercise. Financial, and this is communication in three different areas. There's a financial communication. Be really clear with your landlord. They're probably wondering, gosh, is John's company going to be able to pay their lease this month, or are they going to try to, you know, tell us for some reason we're not going to be able to pay you? Be proactive with your banker, especially if you have any kind of business loans. And to the extent that you're proactive, reaching out to them, telling them, bringing them up to speed, hey, we're doing great, or hey, we're not doing great, how can you help? That's going to be just incredibly helpful. And then proactive discussion on any kind of grants or access to additional lines of capital that could exist. And communicate how your operation, we're all getting just inundated by probably overkill. So I last week, my team was like, you can't send any more emails, John. You're cut off. I was doing too much operational communication. And I said, you can just call people. So everybody's getting an email from companies that you don't even care what they're doing about this, but they're telling you what they're doing as a result of this virus. And so that's an example of this operational considerations. They're communicating to you how this virus is or isn't impacting their operations and how they are or aren't going to be able to serve you going forward. Some degree of this is important. There's just a lot of noise right now with a lot of companies doing that. But I would consider, especially who are the critical stakeholders, upline and downline from your organization, that you really want to have a video conference call meeting with or a phone call. And then human resources. Make sure that the team, and I hit on this a little bit earlier, make sure your team, the other people that count on you, know that they can count on you. It sounds simple, but in a time of real, there's a lot of people that are very afraid right now, and our RAS, a part of our brain, that picks up on things that were that are maybe a threat are going to tend to pick up a lot of threats and tend to see things in a much in a scarcity sort of a mindset. And they'll be fearful of their jobs. They'll be fearful of the future. They'll be fearful of your continued service. And so, to the extent that your team knows where you stand honestly, clearly, with strength, with integrity, with transparency on that communication. I shared with my team exactly where our company is at financially. Not something I would normally do, but I want them to know that we're fine and that we're going to get through this, and that yes, this is going to be a challenging time, and no, I'm not going to maybe go frivolously buy something we don't really need for the company. But letting them know tangibly where we stand is just, I think there's a time for that now where we can take a lot of the fear out of this virus. So
this is absolutely incredible, John. I think that there's such a unbelievable wealth of knowledge here for people to rewatch. And I love how you frame so much of this around the context of opportunities, and that if we're willing to look at threats in an objective way, we can see that, because it's so true that, you know, it takes pressure, right? What's the expression? Diamonds are made under pressure.
Yeah.
And right now we're feeling a massive amount of pressure, especially as business owners or individuals or whatever your situation is. And if you can embrace that pressure to some degree, what it'll do is you'll be able to see where the opportunities to make your diamonds are. And I would encourage you all to rewatch this, because there's just such a huge download of wealth of knowledge and information. And also make sure you link up with his full presentation. I'm definitely going to do that, because I feel like we didn't even scratch the surface of what John has to offer to us. I have one quick question, John, and then I want to do three rapid fire questions to close out.
Sure.
So everybody just got all this. What is the most important action somebody who just took this presentation with you, whether it's the Cliff Notes version like you just gave us here, the full one with you, what is the most important action somebody could take right after this to start putting some of what you taught into motion?
This will sound dramatic, but I would live today, like, I'll start crying because I get emotional about this kind of stuff, but I would live today like it might be your last. I would go home. My poor wife has had to deal with me making out with her. Night. I might wake up the next morning sick. Maybe that's PG. But I would get out there. Like, what beach do you want to go and take a walk on?
Yeah.
Like, who's that friend that you need to call? Who? Call your mom. Do a Zoom video call with your mom and see how she's doing. Like, I think the most important takeaway would be to live with just some of the license plate on my car is intention. Abbreviated. So it looks like Rin-Tin-Tin, but it's actually intention. And the most important thing would be live with so much intention today. We've just been given this gift of just a reminder of just how fleeting and just how precious life really can be. And it's just a time to really live big, live big.
Dude, that was best answer. I would normally ask three rapid fire questions to finish, but I feel like they would take away from what you just said right there. And I'll email you separate. And then if you want to share the answers to them, you can. But I think that I have goosebumps. I mean, that's it right there. You know, everyone, like, I think all this stuff is going out. And remember that the time that you spend in fear, as understandable as it is, to feel anxiety, stress, all everyone I have talked to, I think all of us have felt it to some degree. But remember, the time you spend in that is time that takes away from being present right now. And all this stuff is going on, but the reality is this, is that you could walk outside, get hit by a bus, trip, fall, break your neck. All those things have a probability of happening. And if you sacrifice today by spending in fear, you are missing out on the greatest opportunity you have in front of you. And that's the opportunity just to live and be present with what really matters most.
Yep. Amen.
John, that was incredible, man. Thank you so much.
Let's do it.
Peace.